from the nation's capital. This is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is film and video on offender reentry. We have three people in the studio today, three experts in terms of doing videos on the topic of offender reentry. We have Gabriella Bolishiva, we have Greg Upwall, and Yavar Mogibi. Gabriella is an independent photographer and instructor at Corcoran College of Art and Design. Her website is gabriellabulisova.photoshelter.com. And Greg and Yavar, they're graduates of the George Washington University Institute of Documentary Filmmaking. They produced a film called Release to Life that's gotten a lot of acclaim. It's currently under snagfilms.com, and you can also go to releasetolifemovie.com. And to Gabriella, Greg, and Yavar, welcome to DC Public Safety.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, Gabriella, how badly did I screw up the name?
You did great.
Did I get it? Was I in the ballpark even?
Absolutely right.
You know, all three of you, I've had a lot of fun with talking with all three of you over the course of the last couple of months. And Greg and Yavar, we put together Release to Life. I had a small part in terms of advising you. That video won a slew of awards. It won number one in the first place award in the Washington, D.C. Film Festival. It's won first place awards for a lot of film festivals. You know, that's an interesting concept, Release to Life. Tell me a little bit about the film.
Well, the film is basically a short documentary that we produced as students in the Documentary Filmmaking Center. And it's a composite character of different folks basically going through the reentry process in different stages and having served a different amount of time and kind of looking at the challenges that they're facing coming back into society and, you know, having some experts kind of also weighing in on what the challenges that they see are.
Gabriella, you've done video, you've done still photography, you've done work this concept in a variety of mediums. Why did you choose offender reentries? I can think of puppies, I can think of children, I can think of older people, I can think of veterans coming home from war. I can think of a lot of other topics that are probably easier to do than people coming out of the prison system. Why did you choose that topic?
I actually was introduced to the topic indirectly. I was in per se seeking to work on incarceration and reentry. I was invited to speak at a colloquium at St. Mary's College of Maryland, and the topic was women and war. Mm-hmm. And I worked with refugees, primarily Iraqi refugees, for quite some time. I worked with them in Syria, Middle East, and then in Washington, D.C. So my first thought was I have to go to Iraq and, you know, document women in a war zone. And then because I teach, my schedule, especially travel schedule, is quite limited. I thought I might look at the word war through a deeper or wider prism. Mm-hmm. And I looked at war as a conflict, as injustice, as violence, mm-hmm. and connected then, you know, conflict and women. And did some research locally and found an organization called Our Place DC.
Oh, yes. A fabulous, fabulous place.
Absolutely wonderful. Small, underfunded organization,
yes,
that does a gender-specific issue, deals with gender-specific issues, and does tremendous work helping women who are coming out of prison to readjust to society.
Okay, so you like the easy topics of life.
Yes.
War in Iraq, women returning from the prison system. Mm-hmm. Greg, let me go over to you. I mean, you were involved, you and I have been talking more than any body within this room about this concept of offenders coming out of the prison system. Look, you guys are filmmakers. I'm part of government. I'm stodgy. I've been around for a long time. I'm jaded. You know, the system gets on my nerves. You're filmmakers. You're artists. You're fresh. You have a fresh perspective. You have that artist's soul. You're taking a look at the concept of people coming out of the prison system. Why? Greg, I'm going to start with you.
Well, it's a good question, Len. We, the group that made the film at GW, none of us really had a strong personal history with the subject, except for one student who was a D.C. native. The others of us had a lot to learn. We chose the topic because we felt that it was an important one, clearly, but I don't think any of us really understood what we were getting into. we quickly realized that the situation is quite bleak when you look at the numbers coming out and the statistics of recidivism and the lack of funding that exists. And so as we began to conceptualize what our film, what the sort of salient message of our film should be, we realized that it had that our interest was to make a personal story out of it. And we realized that many people can quickly get desensitized when you look at statistics and numbers. But sort of reflecting our own personal discovery was that these are human beings. And I remember coming to this realization. And a lot of the listeners out there might think, well, of course that's the case. But we really connected with people. We met people with real lives that clearly we could empathize with, that clearly had gotten on the wrong side of a situation. And that was really where our passion and our interest kind of grounded itself.
And that was apparent in the film. If you look at Release to Life and Snag Films, or if you go to releasetolifemovie.com, you see that. You can see the power of the filmmaking. You can see the power of the stories. But I'm, you know, Gabrielle, I've seen your photography. The question is more this. You're bringing a fresh perspective to it. You're bringing the artist's soul to it. What you've just said, all of us within the correctional or criminological community, we know. What is it that the artist sees that we're not seeing in terms of telling that story? Anybody? Gabriella, go ahead.
No, exactly right. I mean, as I said, I was new to the issue of incarceration and reentry, and working with the women, I produced it's a combination of audio and still images. I produced a project called Convictions, where the women directly tell their own stories in their own voices. And then I moved on to, you know, then I started doing more research, and I learned, as Greg said, you know, the overwhelming statistics of, you know, the number of people just in D.C., 10% of D.C. population being, you know, incarcerated or having a criminal record and so on. But still, those are numbers, statistics.
Right. What did you feel in your heart?
Right.
What was going through your heart, your mind, your soul when you were dealing with this topic? That's what I'm interested
right.
in.
Right. As a documentary photographer, as a photojournalist, you want to learn more. You ask right. questions why. And I moved from working with women to working with men. And when I started working on a new project called Inside Outside, I was reminded of what an Iraqi friend of mine told me when the war on Iraq began. He said, "I wish I can tattoo faces onto Iraqi people." And what he really meant was, I wish that people here can see the real people, the real faces of the Iraqis, and thus we can connect, you know, with real people.
Right.
And so we can turn them from, you know, mass numbers or from news headlines into real people.
So you felt that the people that you were dealing with were rather anonymous. They lived anonymous lives, and somehow, some way, through your artistry, you try to capture who they are as human beings. You've yet to weigh in on this subject.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole process of documentary filmmaking is about storytelling in the end, and so, and you know, especially making social documentaries, you want to tell the story that most people don't know, or if they know, they don't know why they should care about it. You know, so it doesn't take much to listen to these people's stories and realize the struggles that they're facing and the limitations in a lot of the services that are out there to really help people transition back into society. And then when you sort of look at it from even a financial perspective too, you know, you kind of wonder what are we doing in terms of all the money that's being poured into this, and people are being sent back. So it's not only affecting the people themselves, but the taxpayers as
right.
well. And so we tried to sort of craft the message that was geared towards this is an issue that you should care about, whether you know somebody who's gone through the criminal system or not.
So why, and from a filmmaker's perspective, from a creative perspective, what are we doing, what are we not doing to spread that message? Because when I sit and talk in the past with my dearly departed mother about the subject of reentry, she said, "Leonard, for the love of heavens, we've got the elderly to take care of. We've got," I've told this story a dozen times. The listeners of this radio program have heard this story a dozen times. We've got the elderly to take care of. We've got school kids to take care of. My wife, who was vice president of PTA, said, Leonard, the money needs to go to the kids. I mean, it's not to the people who have done harm to other human beings. We've got to start with the kids. That's where the great bulk of the money needs to go. I mean, we have a society that basically goes, they're not my favorite people. I'm not quite sure I'm interested in this topic. And I'll throw out a statistic just to consider that 80% of people caught up in the criminal justice system have substance abuse histories. Approximately 10% when they're in the prison system get treatment. So basically what we're doing is not helping them transform, to cross that bridge from a tax violator, I mean, from a tax a burden to a taxpayer. We're not doing that. Why is the question? And I want to ask you guys, not as criminologists, but as artists, why are we not doing that?
I mean, maybe I can jump in there, Len.
Yeah, Greg.
I think what we sort of, like I said before, what we really recognized is that a lot of people see the issue as an us and them situation. It doesn't affect them. It's a situation you can read about in the news. You hear statistics and so forth. But quickly, we were sort of impacted emotionally by the idea that it's certainly not us and them, and that families are involved, and our whole justice system, we're all, we take our civics classes growing up, and we're led to believe that our Constitution provides fair justice, and that once you've paid the due for your crime, that you're able to move on with your life. And we realize it's just not that easy. Our goal quickly became, as I know myself and several others in our crew, we're not the type to quickly give the benefit of the doubt to a criminal. I came at it with my own biases. But we realized that our goal ought to be to show that you can't treat it as a black and white situation. And it's also become an issue that's being done a disservice by reality TV programs that tend to portray prisons as violent places and all criminals as violent people.
Right.
And it just wasn't the case. I mean, couldn't avoid that fact.
I talked to an employer who watched A Hard Time on one of the cable stations and basically said, you want me to hire somebody from there? And I said, look, I've been in and out of prisons hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. It's not like that. I said, you have that goes on in prisons on a periodic basis, but the overwhelming majority of prisons you go into, they're some of the safest places on the face of the earth, believe it or not. I've walked through dozens and dozens of prisons totally unescorted, totally without an ounce of fear, but that's what they see. So if that's what they see on the 6 o'clock news, if that's what they see in Hard Time, if that's what they read about in the morning paper, that doesn't create a lot of sympathy for, quote unquote, what they call ex-cons.
Yeah.
Gabriella, you want to? I mean, the question becomes, how do you reach an audience? These are an extraordinarily powerful stories that all three of you have documented. Mm-hmm. How do you convince people to take those very powerful stories seriously?
No, I mean, these are really good questions, and I think the answers are questions are complex, and the answers would be complex as well. So I think you can dissect it to so many different aspects, you know. But if I may, I agree with what your mother was saying. You know, I think money should be put towards kids. I think money should be put towards Ward 7 and Ward 8 and should be put towards education and treatment and prevention, you know, because I think that's how we can eliminate the, you know, later, you know, large rates of incarceration. And unfortunately, you know, majority of the people in Washington, D.C. who are incarcerated come from the poorest, you know, socially, economically deprived wards. You know, so I certainly agree with that.
But remember, this show goes out all throughout the country and all throughout the world, and that applies to any city in not only in the United States, but any city in the world.
Absolutely right. But also, again, just to use some numbers, you know, we're so lucky to live in this country with so many advantages. But then you look around the world, and this is the country that has the highest incarceration in the world.
Yes, it is.
You know, why do we incarcerate, 740 people per 100,000 people? And Finland, and I believe it's like 60 people per 100,000.
Huge difference.
You know, so I think we have some homework to do.
I want to reintroduce our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing doing, as you well know, a piece on film and video on the subject of offender reentry. We have three experts in the studio with us today, Gabriella Bulishiva, Greg Upwall, and Greg, I'm sorry, Yavar Mogami. Gabriella is an independent photographer instructor with the Corcoran College of Art and Design. The website is gabriellabulisova.photoshelter.com. Greg and Yavar are graduates of the George Washington University, the Institute of Documentary Filmmaking. They did an extraordinary film called Release to Life. It's won three first place awards. You can see it on snagfilms.com. Go to the website and search Release to Life, or you can go directly to their website, releasetolifemovie.com. Gabriella, you know, so we have the energy behind audio, we have the energy behind video, we have the energy behind stills. These are very powerful stories. Are they reaching the larger population, or are they just reaching the already converted to the topic?
Oh, well, you know, we are independent filmmakers, photographers, so we can certainly use some help in terms of promoting our work. But that is my hope, you know. I mean, if we, you know, as you mentioned before, why should a population care about somebody who just came out of prison and is, you know, unemployed or homeless and so on? And to me, I feel like if I can just engage, you know, even if it's a small number of people, into a dialogue about, you know, that people need second chance, that it's going to actually, that if we give somebody a job or ability to go to school, you know, and better their life, we're going to improve public safety, community safety, create stronger families and so on. So is it reaching all the people I would like it? Not yet. I'm hopeful that it's going to communicate to more people. But, for example, just this past Friday, an exhibition opened in Anacostia at the gallery at Vivid Solutions called Inside Outside, where people can come and see photographs, see the video, and hear the stories of the people that I work with.
Greg and Yavar, you and I have sat and talked on a couple different occasions about reaching this mass audience. It is the contention of some people that unless we reach that mass audience, unless we move way beyond the already converted, the already convinced, unless we reach that audience, we're not going to make much difference. I mean, again, the idea that 80% of offenders caught up in the prison system have histories of substance abuse, 10% are getting drug treatment. There's a gap that needs to be addressed. The only way that that is going to be addressed is through political will and money. I mean, these sort of things cost money. To do that, you've got to convince the larger audience. We've talked about public service announcements in terms of reaching a larger audience. I mean, is that possible? Is that doable? Do you think that we can appeal through art to the unconverted, to the general public, and convince them that this is a topic that they want to take on?
Well, I mean, I'll jump in there. I think that, again, the answer would be yes. And I think it is in the way that that message, as Yavar said, it's a question of storytelling. The real message is not, hey, you should care about criminals, and that should be something you think about when you wake up in the morning. The message is more that I experienced individuals that were some of the most inspirational and driven individuals I've ever met in my life that I've never met just in the general population.
Mm-hmm.
That told me something about the power of rehabilitation. And truly, one of the guys in our film says, I was in the news once for doing something wrong. I intend to be in the news again for doing something great.
And that's powerful. Stories are powerful, powerful stories. I mean, when you sit, I've sat in prisons amongst, you know, 20, 30 offenders, and we've had hour-long conversations about their lives, about their hopes, their dreams, and what it is that they want to do. Now, statistically speaking, 50% are back in prison within 3 years. I mean, that's a real problem. I mean, that's, you know, there's not enough being done. So, again, the outreach to the average person to convince them that this is something that is in their best interest. I mean, is it from the standpoint of morality, Yavar? Is it from the standpoint of political correctness? Is it the standpoint of religion? Or is it from the standpoint of just it's in your self-interest, it's in your best interest from the standpoint of tax-paid dollars and your own safety to support these sort of programs? What's the message?
Right. Well, I mean, each audience is going to have a different, way that you can target them. But I do think to get the broadest appeal in terms of the message, I think it does, a big part of it does have to come down to you feeling safe in your community. You know, in one of our, one of the, Dwayne Betts, who's one of the folks in our movie, and he's a Soros Justice Fellow, previous ex-con, who then is a poet and writer now. You know, in our movie, he talks about, you know, we know that we lock people away, but we don't know what the product is that's mm-hmm. coming out of that. You know, and I think that's a important piece. We're putting people away for crimes that they committed, and the assumption is that somehow they are being rehabilitated in the process, and if they're and that they're coming out, and they're coming out safe, you know, for our community.
Does anybody really believe they're being rehabilitated in prison? I mean, the surveys that I've seen is that most people don't know, and most people don't care.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem in terms of communicating, and we have three communicators who specialize in this topic. So mm-hmm. tell me. I mean, is it that the public doesn't care? Because not that they're callous human beings, but they have so many other things on their plates. Mm-hmm. Greg?
I was going to say, I think most people will sort of respond to the issue of their own safety and their family's safety within their communities, and also the issue that this is something that their taxpayer dollars are paying for, the prison system. And, you know, we time and time again found individuals who had access to educational training programs, books in prison. This isn't to say they were on some sort of a holiday or being served at luxuries, but the basic you're there, you're serving time. What are you going to do while you're there?
Mm-hmm.
And it became for us pretty clear that those who had access to those things certainly did better by them. And so, mm-hmm. You know, it became a question of how do you use those incarceration dollars mm-hmm. you know, most effectively.
Or even those that leave. One of the centerpieces of our movie is the D.C. Central Kitchen, which is a culinary
right.
job training program in the D.C. area, who a lot of the folks they work with are ex-offenders. So, and to just see what they do, not only in terms of job training skills, but life skills, you know, group therapy, substance abuse, they tackle a lot of the issues, and they have a very high success rate in terms of getting folks employed, keeping folks out of jail, keeping folks out of drug treatments.
So. Okay, so all three of us agree they're very, very powerful stories. All three of us agree to the ones who are successful. They're very interesting from a human interest point of view. All of us know that there are certain programs out there that can dramatically cut recidivism. I've got the three of you here. I'm going to keep hammering away at Gabriella. What's the theme? Okay, now, if we all know this,
yeah.
and we all understand this, and we all think, wow, what a great topic from a journalistic point of view, from a human interest point of view, from a public safety point of view, from an effectiveness for your tax-paid dollars point of view, what are we missing in terms of communicating that to the larger audience? There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that while we've gotten a lot of awards for our films, they tend to be student film festivals. I would quickly say that we haven't reached a mainstream audience.
How do you reach the mainstream audience?
And I'm not sure we have the answer for that, but I do know that the messages that are being portrayed about the violence of prisons and things, that it is important, I think, to find ways to show the other side of that.
How do we do that?
So maybe it is a public service announcement, you know, maybe a series of campaigns. I think it's finding engaged people like ourselves that want to take on these topics and, you know, in a sensitive manner with, you know, that are looking at more than just the sort of sensationalized kind of way of portraying things.
But we all get together and talk to the converted. That's my only problem with this issue. It's not going out and talking to the person, you know, who lives 20 miles outside of the city. I mean, look, this is an issue that has a profound impact on any city in the United States. It's an issue that has a profound impact on any city in the world, the crime and justice issue. I mean, if we can take 50% of these individuals and provide them with the services and they stay out of the prison system, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars saved. You're talking about tens of thousands of crimes going uncommitted. You're talking about something that is, you know, is clearly what all of us want, yet. I mean, if I say cancer, people go, how can I help? If I say child abuse, people say, how can I help? If I say offender reentry, they go, well, what about the children?
Well, I mean, this isn't a problem that's unique to criminal justice. I feel like there's a tendency in general to put money in, think about healthcare. I mean, spending money when people are already sick, spending money when people need the emergency room visits, as opposed to putting it up front for the preventative public health visits, you know, those type. This is a common sort of short-sightedness of a lot of bureaucratic processes where the money just isn't put up front, and it's sort of an out-of-sight, out-of-mind mentality until all the people who are coming out of prison from the war on drugs are suddenly all back in society again. And what do we do with all these folks? You know, I think there's just a common problem of short-sightedness in general, I think, with a lot of these issues.
Well, here's the homework assignment for 6 months from now, because we're going to redo this show 6 months from now, by the way, because you guys are my guinea pigs. What is the theme? What is the central message that we can communicate to citizens in general to really say, hey, you know what, it's probably in my best interest to support these sort of programs for people coming out of the prison system? I mean, that's going to be your homework assignment. So when we reconvene, you're going to say, hey, I came up with successful themes. This is what we need to say. Right?
Sounds good.
Sure. Yeah. If I may, I would just say that, again, the topic is so massive, so abstract, and I think all of us grew up with that, you know, notion of incarceration bad, prisoners bad, felons bad, you know. So I think, you know, the topic is so stigmatized, and the people are so stigmatized that it's going to take some time to actually remove that stigma of incarceration. And I think that's where we can come in, you know, as filmmakers, as artists. We might not have the answers, but perhaps we can at least start to engage people in a dialogue.
People ask me why I was doing this radio show today. And I said, because we in the bureaucracy aren't going to convince anybody. I said, it's either going to come from the offenders themselves or it's going to come from the artist community. They're the ones who are going to figure this out. We're not. We're bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. We're government bureaucrats. We're not terribly creative. We're overly cautious. We're going to be pressed, and the answer is going to come from the offender community itself or from the artist community, because they're the ones who are going to tell us, hey, this is the direction we need to go in. Am I being patronizing, or does that have a thread of truth to it?
Well, as you were talking about what are ways we can have this message heard, I mean, I think TV is so powerful in that way, and whether it is through a public service announcement, or I wonder how we could affect these shows that are sensationalizing, being incarcerated and realize that they're having a damaging effect, you know, in society.
But they're not going to go away.
They're not going away, but there's got to be a way to at least consult or have some sort of role in having a different message being told too, you know, and part of the internet and social media and things like that are also new powerful tools to really spread that message too.
30 seconds. Is it powerful to counteract the cable news shows? Is social media powerful enough to counteract the bad news that comes out from the morning newspapers or from television coverage or from the cable shows?
Well, whether it is or not, Leonard, my answer would be that doesn't mean we don't keep pushing those messages. And I think that people do like positive messages at the end of the day. And we found some positive stories among these individuals, and those success stories need to be told.
You know? Well, we're going to bring you all back at a certain point, and we're going to talk about those success stories, because we're going to come up with some sort of PSA, and it's going to go national, and you're all going to get awards, and it's going to be powerful, and that's going to be influential. I know that in my heart. In any event, ladies and gentlemen, our show today has been on film and video on offender reentry. We've had three guests with us today, and one I'm going to try for once to get her name correctly, Gabriella Bolisheva, Greg Upwall, Yavar Mogimi. Gabriella is stunning portrait photography, journalistic photography. The Institute of Documentary, that's Greg and Yavar. She's an instructor at the Corcoran College of Art and Design. GABRIEABULISOVA.photoshelter.com. It'll be in the show notes. Greg and Yavar, they are graduates of the George Washington University Institute of Documentary Filmmaking. Again, they did the award-winning film Release to Life, which you can see on snagfilm.com. You go to snagfilm and just search Release to Life, or go to releasetolifemovie.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. We appreciate your interest and comments, and please have yourselves a very, very pleasant day.